and welcome to Minute 55 of the Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into the Great Escape one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and once again, my co-host Tom is still in the cooler. He'll hopefully be back with us on Monday. Joining me once again today to finish off this week is Tony Cogan from Cougs Reviews. Welcome back, Tony.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on.
No problem. We've had a great discussion all week, and you know we'll get the tag end of that of the whole dispersal issue with today's episode. So episode 55 begins with Von Luger trying to reaches down to inspect the garden and goes all the way till Von Luger and the SBO discuss. They have a conversation about gardening. As we discussed yesterday, Von Luger, Posen, and Strachwitz have started walking through the compound. They've reached the point where all the characters are gardening outside of their barracks. And he basically walks over and kicks up one of the rocks, begins to kick some of the dirt, and looks around. Then we get a quick shot of Roger and Mac looking down, looking suspiciously, trying to figure out what's going on here. You know, does he know what's going on, or is he just fishing for information about things? I mean, we discussed this a little bit yesterday, the fact that, and we came to the conclusion, thanks to Tony, what Von Luger is trying to do here is to get someone to give away some information. He doesn't really think they're doing something specifically with the gardens that's illegal or against the rules of the camp, but he's hoping that just by his presence, he's able to get someone to make a flaw, you know, give away some of something. Whatever it could be. Because he knows something is going on. He's just not sure what. And then he picks up a few more rocks, shakes them off, starts playing with the rocks in his hands, walks over to Roger, gives him a salute. And at this point, Posen and Strachwitz also salute Roger, and Mac salutes also. I like the fact that the way that they do this is that, you know, they're still, they may be enemies, but there's still honor among officers. You know, between the two sides.
It's discipline.
Yeah. It's you're my prisoner or you're my warden, but still, you know, was it respect the rank, not the man?
It's the rules of engagement. It's the rules of engagement. Rules of engagement and respect amongst officers.
Yeah. Exactly. Like I just said, respect the rank, not the man. You know, it doesn't matter who it is, but, you know, you give them the proper salute that's needed. Which it's nice to see that there is a little bit of formality between the two sides. You know, this isn't a movie that shows a lot of animosity between the officers in the camp and the prisoners themselves. So I think this is a good way of showing it, you know, that they're able to still salute each other despite their differences of opinion as to what they... how they should be acting. Then Von Luger has a great line. He says, I'm sorry the soil here isn't better suited to your men's purpose. Now, first of all, what purpose is he referring to? But if you think about it, it actually is very suited to their purpose, you know, because they're able to use that for their dispersal measures. I like the irony of that comment. Now, what do you think he's referring to when he says that it's not suited for your purpose? Like, what purposes do you think he's referring to?
I think firstly it's the general one of the garden purpose, and again, I think as we said, I said like previous episode talk about I was trying to gauge their reactions. I think again, it's another way he's trying to gauge how they respond to what he's saying. He's saying if they can kind of give away an alternate purpose other than the surface level one of them being used as gardens.
Okay, that is definitely possible that could be the reason. I don't know, it's just a little strange to me, regardless, the way that his idea of your men's purpose. You know, in the original script, Hiltz is actually in this scene, and he has a discussion with Hiltz about what they're doing in the gardening. I think it was a smart move to move Hiltz out of here, because, you know, besides the fact that he's right now in the cooler, as we saw earlier in this week, he's just not very, very suited well for this type of diversion.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Steve McQueen is just not the guy that you would see him, doing a bit of gardening and believe that that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, he's still playing with the rocks the whole time. I love the response from Roger. He says, "We'll manage, sir." you know, even though it's not the purpose of what you're used to, but we're still managing somehow, which again, it's an ironic response because of what we know that they're actually doing with this dirt. You know, and then Von Luger smiles at a whole bunch of different other prisoners and continues walking, and then he, you know, walks up to Ramsey, the SBO, and once again, we get back to the formalities of the saluting. Ashley Pitt is there, he also salutes. As I mentioned earlier, it's a nice touch that they do this. It tells us a little bit more about the various characters and to what they believe their duty is in this type of situation. You know, in many movies and TV shows or whatever, the commandant of a particular camp is usually sadistic and whatever. And this is one where we see that things are toned down a lot more. There is a lot more respect between the two sides. And just this little gesture of showing them saluting each other back and forth says so much about that. You know, it adds to that fact. At this point, Von Luger then says to the SBO that he's a little surprised with the extent of this activity. So I guess that goes back to what we were saying earlier, that there's a lot of people doing gardening. Now, we know the real reason that there's so many people doing gardening, because it's easier to get rid of, you know, the dispersal methods from Tom by having as many prisoners as possible working the soil. Because the more you have working the soil, the more that we're able to hide it and stuff like that. So then they get into a little bit of a conversation about gardening, which isn't something you'd expect in a movie like this, but it adds to the detail of the way that this movie plays along. You know, he says he's pleased, but he's still surprised. So Ramsey says, "Well, what is just you're surprised about this, basically?" And he says, "Well, flyers are gentlemen, not peasants, to dig the earth. So I'm surprised." So what he's basically saying is that he doesn't believe that officers are people who would toil the earth. Which,
yeah,
I think that's a big generalization to be saying something like that.
Yeah, I think it's the general expectation that's how it's the often the gentleman type of arguments, thinking that at this side the officers will be more like the upper middle classes, upper classes. They wouldn't be expected to do that kind of this kind of manual labor.
Right, meaning that you're all upper class, so therefore you probably have servants doing these type of things for you.
Yeah, that kind.
Okay, but that's also a pretty big generalization. It doesn't just because someone's was able to get in the Air Force doesn't necessarily mean that they're coming from high society.
Yeah, well,
they have, a mansion or a castle with servants and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, it's the expectation of discipline with the ranks. I think of it's more because it's obviously like someone who's more of on the officer rank rather than like the general rank and file soldier.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, I understand that, but it's just very interesting. Maybe it comes from the idea that the Germans look at things from the highest. They see the difference between the upper class and the lower class, and he's expecting that maybe in Germany the officers are of the high class, so therefore in England it must be that way too. You think so?
Yeah, there's that potential idea, aren't you?
Because that would make a little more sense by saying it that way. I mean, I still think it's a little bit of a generalization, the way that he does it. And, I mean, Ramsey gets back at him anyway and basically says, the English have always been keen on gardening. So the response is, yes, but flowers, is this not so? Meaning that, if people in England are going to be doing gardening, they're going to just be dealing with flowers. They're not going to be dealing with anything else.
Recreational gardening.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I did a little bit of research into it, of how far back, the English gardening goes. It's been around for a very long time. I mean, it was obviously there's all the landscaping and stuff like that. When looking at, when exactly they gardening came to England, I mean, it was the Romans who brought it. It wasn't something that was prevalent beforehand. Basically, when the Romans came to England, I think it was the 8th grade. That's what I've come up with, but I could be wrong. For all of those, for all those history majors who are listening, who know more about when the Romans brought gardening to England. So I apologize for possibly getting that wrong, but that's basically, so it's been around for centuries. There's no question about that. The way that this conversation is going, he's talking about, that it's mostly, as you said, for recreational gardening as opposed to something that's more effective. And the response that Ramsay gives here is that, yeah, but we're trying to raise food. You can't eat flowers, you can, but wait a second. So the big question is what are they actually trying to grow in this dirt? Because it's pretty much dirt. You have any idea what one could grow in this dirt?
Well, just try and see like anything they can grow, like just even if it's something like something sturdy like potatoes. It was just the idea of just trying to grow anything they can. Because one thing that was happening in the UK during this time was that pretty much every area of spare green land could be spared and that wasn't directly, it could be easily accessible, was turned into like allotments or vegetable plots. I think it's like some areas of Hyde Park were used as like as vegetable gardens. Like at least one of the big parks in London was used as a vegetable plot. And just that idea of trying to grow whatever kinds of vegetables that they can and just experiment and find any sturdy ones that would be suited to soil. But even then it's just the all they need to do at this point is give the perception that they're planting something, and if nothing happens, then you can just say, "Oh, the crops failed. The crops failed. We tried to plant it, and it didn't work."
Right. I mean, in the original script, when I mentioned, I think it was yesterday, that Hiltz was originally in this scene. So Hiltz pipes up and says that what they're planting are radishes. He says radishes grow better in sandy soil. So I don't know. I've never tried growing radishes, so I'm not sure if that.
And I don't think either of us are botanists, so
no,
we're not the best place to answer this.
No, not a botanist, and also not a farmer, where I would know, how one makes radishes. My assumption is that normally people don't grow radishes in dirt, but I guess the question is whether they actually, it's a script because they realize that it doesn't make sense. Curious to know how, where one grows radishes. Why would they even bring that up as something that they would try to, that's the thing that you can grow in dirt. And so I love the way that Ramsay responds. He says, "Good point," meaning touche. You've got me on that one. You should be planting things that you can eat. This is in some ways a dig at him that the food that you're giving us isn't sufficient, so we're gonna plant our own. And we're gonna grow radishes or potatoes or whatever it is that one can grow in this in these gardening plots that they have here. So that pretty much ends this minute. I mean, Tony, all week we've been talking about the movie. What's your history with The Great Escape?
So really, my history of it is like when I was growing up. Well, firstly, there's the usual tradition in the UK of the bank holidays, and on pretty much every bank holiday when I was growing up, on like the main channels like BBC, ITV, Channel 4, Channel 5, in order to fill time during bank holidays, they'd usually show one of these like really traditionally long films, and usually there's like traditions of different ones. So so you have like some channels will show Oliver, some show Sound of Music, some will show Bridget of the Kwai, the Bond films, and pretty much every time when there was a bank holiday, you'd get The Great Escape on one channel. So every now and then I'd just dip in and see little bits of The Great Escape when I was growing up. But more so, I was more familiar first with films that were inspired by The Great Escape. So, like, for me, like, a foundational film for me when I was growing up was Chicken Run, which is, well, it's just The Great Escape with chickens.
Right. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Chicken Run. I rewatched it not long ago, and I like the first few scenes where they're actually, you know, parodying different parts of this movie. But overall, I just didn't find it to be as fun as The Great Escape. I mean, obviously, they're very different. You know, it didn't catch me as well as it you know, it didn't fascinate me as much as it fascinates you, which is great.
But your context and experience of it is completely different to mine, because I was five when Chicken Run was first released. So I was at perfect age for Chicken Run to have this big impact on me.
Okay, that is very true. I was, when Chicken Run was released, I was 26. So yeah, I guess there is a difference there by the perspective of one, of how one looks at a movie like that. You know, that's true. Great. So you have anything else you want to say about the movie or this particular, the minutes that we've covered over this week or something? Anything else you want to add?
I think just in general, again, I think I've said in other episodes I've been on, it's the thing that I really like about The Great Escape is all the logistical talk, going through every detail of, you know, that's kind of why I want to talk about this 7 minutes, because this is where I really get a good microcosm of the logistics and the planning of, and the problem solving that takes place in the film. Then you also see, like, everything that goes on with the document forging and, you know, getting clothes, trying to arrange, and even after the escape, you're trying to arrange transport and just trying to make, and even just like how very minor slip ups or things that could just be instinctive can catch people out. Like, this example of just wishing someone good luck and they instinctively respond in English.
Right.
And how that can catch out, how something that's, it takes a fraction of a second, you don't think about it, and you've just buggered everything up.
Right. No, I mean, we've all dealt with that. I mean, you know, I speak another language, and sometimes I'll just blurt things out in English. You know, it just doesn't, you know, without even thinking about it.
Yeah. It's just instinct. You don't really think about it. It just happens.
Correct. No, this is definitely, you know, logistically, when you're looking at a movie like this, there are a lot of logistics going on with the way that they're planning out the whole escape and the way that they're doing everything. So it all works out really well. Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun having you on this week. I appreciate you taking the time to join us.
And thanks for having
me. You want to once again tell people how they can get in contact with
and
you?
And so, yeah, to get in touch with me and find my stuff. You can go over to my site, which is cougsreviews.wordpress.com, and then over on the LAM, where I run the director's chair feature.
All right. Excellent. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher that you might be using to be listening to the show. You can go talk to us on our Facebook group, The Cooler. You can send us an email, thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com. And our Twitter account is Great Escape MXM. Thank you once again, Tony, for joining us this week.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
And we'll catch everyone else on Monday when we're back with another guest to have a continued detailed discussion on The Great Escape. So have a great weekend, and until Monday, tally-ho!
Tally-ho!